Yud Gimel Teves, Sunday the 8th of January. This week's Shurim have been sponsored by Torah Way, Lichvod HaNisuyim Shel Bensi Lebrecht and Malka von Prague, in appreciation of the sterling Kol Haloshen service provided by Mr. Yitzchak von Prague Neyoy. Rabbi Meir Zev Rappaport, it's out of this world.
Birshus, Kolakor HaKodesh Hazeh. It's out of this world. So what's out of this world? So there was an interesting story, and we'll only analyze one little angle of this story, because life's always complicated, and the story's even more complicated. So there was a public auction. There was a public auction, and there was two fine frumiden went to the auction. And what was an auction was a piece of land. The land, let's say, was worth, £10 million. And the minimum £10 million, the starting bid was £10 million. And these two Yidden saw that the bidding is going to be very exciting on that day and it's going to go sky high. So in order, they both turned up at this auction, they both signed on to go to this auction, they both registered to take part in the auction, and they turn up, they both meet each other, they know each other, they know they're both people of means who are able to acquire this land. And so they decide between each other, Anamakom, on the spot, that they'll go b'shutfus, because this way they'll be able to limit the price of this piece of land. Anyway, so they made a quick shutfus between each other. They of course didn't tell, they didn't publicize it, because it's illegal apparently to go and join together to make a syndicate after you've already registered, because they didn't go into this originally. So they managed to get the piece of land for £16 million. Okay, we're just making it exciting. For £16 million, that was mamush emetzia. It was mamush out of this world. So, Shoy, and the agreement had been between them, the agreement they made was that Reuven will buy it, will pay for it, it will be registered in Reuven's name, and Shimon will pay him the £8 million that is owed in order to own the other half. He'd pay him within 2 weeks, he'd pay him the other half. Showing everything was good, as they are showing in Voyle. What happened was that during those 2 weeks, somebody turns up and offers Reuven a very enticing proposition. And he said he'll buy the piece of land off him for £22 million. So we're talking about a profit, ala makom, on the spot, just like that, without any, just what we call a rollover, flipping over for an extra £6 million. This sounds very apt for this. So we're talking an extra £6 million, extra £6 million. It's very nice profits over here, and showing what comes along, Shimon. And he says, I'm sorry, but I want now half the profits. The profits are 6 million. He bought it for 16. He sold it to the other fellow now for 22. He wants 3 million. He wants his 3 million. And Yenes says, no, I didn't really mean it. And it was this, Meshatani Boch, and it was only in order that we should keep the price down. But anyway, who said the shutfus is valid? It was just ad hoc on the spot. Sure. So that is the Shaila. And I'm sorry to tell you, but we're not going to come up with a solution, because it's above my capabilities of coming up with a solution to such a complicated shaila. But one specific, there's many, many angles that would have to be analyzed in order to pass in such a shaila. And one of the many angles that need dealing with is the validity of the partnership here. Which means that in order to decide on the validity of a partnership, you really have to know how to create a partnership. And that we're also not going to go into today how to create a partnership, because that can also be complicated. But there's one angle which I'd like to deal with, and it has to do with the parasha that we learned yesterday in Beis HaMedrash in Shul. The Gemara in Sota says about Yaakov Avinu's Ptira, Yaakov Avinu's Levaya, and they took him from Mitzrayim up to Eretz Yisrael, and it was a big affair, big Levaya. And the Gemara in Sota tells us as follows. We have looked at it on the piece of paper over here. Given shehigiyu lemoras hamachpelo, as soon as they came to Moras hamachpelo, who turned up? Also Esav turned up. Komakiv, he stole the whole ceremony, the whole levaya. Omar Leni said to them, Mamre kiryas arba hi chevroi. V'omar Rabbi Yitzchok said kiryas arba. Why is it called kiryas arba? Because there was four pairs, four couples who were buried there. Odom v'chavo. Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah. Said Esav, Ihu Yaakov, Kavra Leah b'day. He buried Leah in his chelke, in his part. V'haydefaish, the one grave that's left over, didihu is mine. Omrulesa, the sons of Yaakov said to him, but you've sold it. You sold it to Yaakov. Omrulahu, yeah, and he does divini b'churuso. I sold the b'chayre, but I didn't sell pshitusa. I didn't sell a land. Omrulein, you did. Dichsiv b'kivri asher korisili. When Yosef came to Paroi, to the household of Paroi, and he said to Paroi that my father asked me that he should be buried in his grave, asher korisili. Which, what's korisili? Literally, it means which I dug. V'omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum, Rabbi Shimon ben Yitzadok, did Yaakov really stand there and dig that grave? Of course he didn't dig the grave. What does it mean, Asher Korisili, when Yaakov said, Asher Korisili, which I buried? So he said, Ein Kiro, Elo Loshein Mechiro. It doesn't mean, Kiro doesn't mean digging in this instance. Kiro means Mechiro, which I caused to be sold. He caused Esav to sell his grave, his piece of land, to him. She came because Bikroch Hayom in the islands of the sea, Korim Lemechiro, they call Mechiro Kiro. So Omalahu, so he said, so Esav said, fine, you claim that I sold it. Have you got to show me a document showing that I sold it? Omrulei, they said, well, Igarto Barad Mitzrayim, it's in Mitzrayim. Uman Nezel, who should go? Nezel Naphtali. Naphtali should go and run to Mitzrayim to fetch the document. The Kolil Ki Ayalto, because he's as light as a deer. Dichsil, as the Pasuk says, Naphtali Ayalo Shlucho. Naphtali is a hind, a deer which is let loose. Hanoisin Imre Shefer, who brings back good tidings, Omar Abavo, Al Tikri Imre Shefer, don't call it Imre Shefer, Elo Imre Sefer, call it Imre Sefer. And I'm not trying to make any publicity over here, just a pasuk that's being quoted. So that is the Gemara over here. Now there's two pshatim in Rashi, says, what does it mean that he bought it? How did he buy it? So Rashi brings either that it was bought the land through buying the Benizid Adoshi when he bought the rights to the Bechoiro, so also he bought also all the rights to the land that they are going to Yarsh, that they're going to inherit from Yaakov Avinu, and part of the land was Moras HaMachpelah. According to the other Pshat of Rashi, Asher Korisi means kri, which means a pile, and what he did was he took all the gold and silver that he had managed to make through Lavon, and he put it into a big pile, into a big kri, and he said, take this big kri, take this big pile, and give me Moras HaMachpelah, give me my burial place. So, if you can just say, so what's this got to do with our Shaila? The Shaila is as follows. Let's look in the Gemara Baba Metzia, now point number two. Ha'oimer, somebody who says, Mashi Irash Me'aba Machuloch, that which I'm going to inherit from father, Zololeden Bizahundun Tzvanzik, Machuloch is sold to you. You can't sell what you're going to inherit. My time asks the Gemara, what's the reason? Ein odom makne dovo shaloi bala oimer. He cannot sell something that is out of this world, which is not in this world. And here you understand the title. Ein odom makne dovo shaloi bala oimer. You cannot sell something that is not in this world. So, the question that stands here is, how could Esav sell the rights, the future rights to the land which Yaakov owned? It was future Yerusha, it was inheritance which he hadn't received yet. Ein odom makne, you cannot sell something she'ein ba'olam, which is not theirs, which is not here yet, which is not motz, which is not in your possession yet to sell. And here is this comes back to our shayla over here with this shutfus. Mele, if you have a partnership, and that partnership involves something that exists, so we're told in Halacha that any partnership you make, you have to make the appropriate kinyan in order to create that partnership. To validate the partnership, you have to make the kinyan each kol dovol with its own kinyan. But if the partnership is being made with something that doesn't necessarily exist at this stage in time, for example, if you've got two umnin, for example, two tailors, we find in the example given in Rishonim, or two weavers, who make a partnership between each other. that that any work they get, they're going to split the profits, etc., etc. Or if you've got two shutsim who are going to buy certain products or certain produce on credit, and they're going to split the profits. So in order to create the partnership, the moshul for what nafkemina, if let's say they shouldn't retract or they shouldn't change their minds. In this example, for example, here we have an example where the fellow says he wants all the 6 million, and the other fellow says no, we've got to split the profits, 3 million each. So is the partnership valid? And here they created a partnership with something that they didn't really own yet. It was on future, on something that they're going to own in the future. So how do you validate, how do two weavers, or two tailors, or two people who are buying produce on credit, or anything else, if creating a partnership, how can they create a partnership when that which they're dealing with is Einoi Ba'olam, is not in this world, Einoi Damakne Dovol Shaloi Bola Olam? And who Adin, the kasha stands on Esav, how could Esav sell the rights to the land which he did not yet own? Ein odo makne dovol shaloi bala oilom. That's the Gemara in Baba Metzia, and this question is dealt with extensively in Rishonim and Achronim, how could Esav sell the rights to the future land? Shoy?
It's never there to
buy. Sorry?
Generally,
not necessarily, because you could have a shutvus where you put money into an account, right? So you've got, so you create a shutvus with a cash. But if you're buying on credit, let's say, then you're right, it doesn't really exist. So the different types of shutvus. If you've got the schoil already in front of you, so you can create a shutvus. If you're going to sell something that you already have, so you can go into partnership with it. But if it's not there, in certain types of shutvus, they don't exist. There's nothing for the kinyan to be chal on. So. Sorry?
The key.
We were talking about something that wasn't even owned by them. It was owned by Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is still alive. It was owned by Yitzchok. Yeah, it was owned by Yitzchok. Yitzchok was still alive. So when he came in and he was he said, "Give me some soup." Nizid Adoshim. It wasn't his to sell. It was his father's. His father owned it. It's future inheritance. So ain't no makna dovol shaloi bala oilam nuadin, something which is not his yet. It's not yet his to own. It's sure. So comes along. Sorry. What is mikra of it? But it's maybe the bechayre, the rights that exist now. But this doesn't exist yet. It's not his.
Because it became the bechayre.
Okay, you want to say that maybe there's some sort of so you can say it agav something. I call upon him. This question, the tool comes along, Beshem the Rosh, in the name of the Rosh, his father. Tool was the son of the Rosh. And he answers as follows, and Be'etzim, this can be found in Shuvah's Rosh also, this Yesoid. And he says that if you look in the Parsha, in Parshas Toilus, point number 3 over here, Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov said to him, Yishavoli kayoy, make a shvuo, swear to me that you're going to sell me. And he made a shuvah. Vayim koir, and he sold as bechayrosoi, his birthrightly Yaakov, to Yaakov Avinu. So says the Tur, says the Rosh, why did Yaakov ask him to make a shuvah? To make a shuvah, for what purpose? Says the Tur, that's true, that ain odo makne tovo shalom bala oilo. But if you back up the sale with a shuvah, then the mekach, then the kinyan will be chal. And the lashon we find uses that the shvuah is goimeres hakinyan. The shvuah can validate and finalize the kinyan, the acquisition. Because when you've got another machnedav shavarim, you've got a problem of that this chesaron is not in this. It's not ba'olam. It's not here for me to sell. So if I back it up with the shvuah, then that can validate the sale. That can be goimer the kinyan. That is the answer the Tur gives the shemerosh. Comes along the rivosh, and he argues with the rosh, and he says, no, it's not true. It's a shvuah cannot validate a kinyan. What a shvuah can do is it can say that because I made a shvuah, therefore I'm obligated now to be mekayim the shvuah that I made. But it won't create a kinyan. It won't make a chalois in the kinyan. The kinyan won't be chal. There'll be nothing more than a hischaivus, an obligation mitzidi to be mekayim my shvuah, which I made on myself, and therefore I have to be mekayim my shvuah. So it can give validity in the sense that I'm obligated to keep my word. But it cannot create a chalois in the kinyan. The kinyan won't be chal just because I made a shvuah. That means the shvuah is not goimer the kinyan. The shvuah doesn't create a chalois in the kinyan. The mekach isn't chal just because I made a shvuah. Lemal nafkemina, what difference does it make? In the end of the day, I've got to keep my word. Nafkemina will be that, for example, if the person dies, so the kinyan wasn't chal, but the shvuah, yes, he had a shvuah, he was obligated, but the yolshin aren't mechuyev to keep the father's shvuah. Mashaykh, if the kinyan is chal, the kinyan was chal. Navarachkimina, can you go and be yorid l'nechosov? Can you go down into his property and put it out of him? Force going to his lechosov, going to his property and take it out from his hands. Because if you say that the kinyan was chal, the kinyan is chal, so therefore you can go and take it. Mashaykh, if it was just a shvur, then you're not yorid l'nechosov. And be'emis, this we find halach in the Ramo Paschas like that. If you look in the Ramo point number 4. Ein odo makne dovo shaloi bala oilom. A person cannot sell something that's not in this world yet. Ve'im nishba lekayim hamekach, but if he makes a shvur to keep his word, afal pi shaloi bala oilom, tzorich lekayim shvur, also he must keep to his shvur. It doesn't say the kinyan is chal. He must keep to his shvur. Umiu, says the Ramo mefurish, Einoi nikne bekinyan, it has not been acquired with a proper valid sale with a proper kinyan. Velochein, and therefore, what does it make a difference? What nafkamina says the Ramon nafkamina in point number 4. Imloi nuchal lokuf oiso lekayim shvuosoi. If it is not possible for us to force him to keep his shvua, going for example, he died, and once a person dies, you can't force him to do anything. Therefore, ein hakinyan klum, the kinyan is irrelevant. It's not there. Vechein and huadin. Another nafkamina. Im shoal al shvuah. So what happens if he was shoyil, he went to Chacham and he was shoyil on the shvuah. So the shvuah is non-existent anymore. So were it to be a kinyan, the kinyan's hal. But if he shoal al shvuah, the shvuah is not there. So that is the argument between the tur and the rivosh. The tur holds that if a person makes a shvuah, then that validates the kinyan. Whereas the rivosh says, no. It's nothing more than a shvuah, but the kinyan is not hal. So here we have a machlokes. So according to the tur, it's very geshmak the posuk. The tu b'shem the rosh, very geshmak the posuk. Vayoyim Yaakov, he shov ali kayoy, make a shvua, vayishov ali, made a shvua, vayim koyres b'choyrosa le Yaakov, and he sold it, and the sale was valid because of the shvua. But according to the rosh, who holds that the shvua is not mekayim, the mekach doesn't finalize the sale, doesn't validate the sale, so we still have shver, we still have difficult, how could Esav sell the Bechoyra to Yaakov with what? How was it chal? Says the Rivosh, and the Ketzos HaChoshen brings this down, that there's a chiluk between Koidem Matan Torah and after Matan Torah. Koidem Matan Torah, the halacha was that a person could sell something, a person is able to sell something which is loy bala oilom. Odom makne dovo shaloy bala oilom. Only once the Torah was given, and mainly the parshiyos of kinyonim were given over to Klal Yisrael through the Torah, the laws of acquisitions were given over with the Torah, and one of the halachas that were nischadish behilchis kinyonim was that ein odom makne dovo shalom al oilom. This is learnt out through a pasuk. And the psukim that we were given at Har Sinai, they dictate to us and tell us that ain't odom makne dovo shaloi bala oilom. But pre-matan Torah, odom makne dovo shaloi bala oilom. And seeing as the sale that took place before matan Torah, and therefore in those days, odom makne dovo shaloi bala oilom. The question was found, if so, why did Yaakov request a shvua from Esav? If before Matan Torah says the Rivosh, Odom Makne Dovo Shaloi Bala Oilom, so why is it that Yaakov requested Esav to make a Shvua? Says the Rivosh, Rav Chode Milsi, he wanted just for added benefit, because he knew Esav, so therefore he wanted security, and therefore he requested a Shvua from him. The Ketos HaChoshen, in fact, uses this Yesoid to answer a couple of questions, and he said that which it says in Parshas Lech Lecho, that Yelid Bais, when Avraham Avinu was told that he should be Mal, Yelid Beisoy, and the Gemara tells us what is Yelid Beisoy, it's a Gemara in Shabbos, that Yelid Bais is somebody who buys Hakoine Uber Shifchas Chaveiro, somebody who buys the fetus Uber of Shifchas Chaveiro, of the an Uber of his friend's maidservant. And this Uber is Einoi Ba'olam, he's not in this world, how can one buy it? Because Avraham Avinu was told this before Matan Torah, and before Matan Torah, Odom Makne Dovo Shalabol Oilom. And Huadin says the Ketzois that the Tumas Hadeshen asks, how could Yaakov buy from Lavon the Akudim, Nekudim, Uvrudim, which were all non-existent yet, they're not yet in this world, all these Kvosim, says the Ketzois, because before Matan Torah, Odom Makne Dovol Shaloi Bala Oilam. So this is the machloikas we have between the Rosh and the Rivosh. Do we say that the reason why Esav could sell it was because the Shvuah validated the sale? Or do we say, no, Avada Shvuah cannot validate the sale, but the reason why he could sell him Dovol Shaloi Bala Oilam was because before Matan Torah, Odom Makne Dovol Shaloi Bala Oilam. Ad kan so far. Now, we find in Rishonim, in Achronim, two different reasons as to why is it that they know the Makin Dovol Shaloi Bala Oilam. The Rishonim, the Mekuy Yosef, it's brought down in Achronim also, and Be'etzim, we'll see it's a Ramah. But the reason why is it that a person can't sell something which is Loi Bala Oilam, which is not in this world, or it's not in his hands, or he doesn't own it, or it's not here yet. Say these Rishonim and these Achronim, because a person does not have smiches das, loy somcha date, umemeilu loy gomar umakne, a person does not have the frame of mind, the presence of mind, to go and give over something which is not owned by him, not here, not tangible, which is not motsui etzloy. It's a chisoloy in smichus das, that's the lotion used in the Sforim. The Kirat Sefer says it's learned out from Sukkim. The Shal is, what is the chesaron? What is the problem in Eidoim Makne? Why not? Just because something's a posuk doesn't mean it's gzeiras a kosuk, it's got no havona to it. You can have a posuk with a havona. What is the Torah telling you? Why is it not Mikne? Is it because there's a chesaron in Smichus Das? Because if it's not here, and it's not Motsi Etzloi, it's not tangible here by him, and he owns it, then he cannot feel ois in his machshov, in his mind, there's a lack of smichas das. That's how Chazal amagdirit. Loi som chodaitim, imeinu loi gomar umakne. If that's the reason, nafkemine, we find in Ramah, and this is a modche in Rishonim, what happens if there's two people and each one wants to be makne to the other one, a dovah shaloi bala oilam? Says the Motch, in such an instance it can work. Why? Yesh Oimim number 7 says the Motch, Afal Gavde in Odom, Makne Dovol Shaloi Bala Oilom, Mikom Mokoim. Im Hu Gam Kein Roi Tzidiknois, if he also wants to acquire something which is Loi Bala Oilom, Makne Gam Kein, therefore he can sell something which is Loi Bala Oilom. Why? Because if he wants to make a Kinyan, so because he's Nisratze, he wishes to acquire something, therefore he, in his present frame of mind, he's willing to give over something that's Loi Bala Oilam. And the Lashon is that Kivin Sheroitze Liknois Makne, seeing as he wants to buy, therefore he can also sell. So i.e. he's got Smichas Das.
He bought the Adashim and this one bought...
Sorry?
Isaac and Yaakov.
So...
Sold to each other something.
You want to say that he was Makne? Who said he sold? No, he gave him. I don't know if he sold to him. He fed him. He said, feed me. Doesn't mean he's being Makne to him. Not sure. So if he wants to be makna something to somebody else, and he wants to be kohen something, then they can make it. It's not just a question of exchanging; it's a question of being makna. A kopon. Two people. If one wants to be kohen something which is loy bala oilam, and one wants to be makna, therefore it'll work. Because seeing as I want to acquire something which is loy bala oilam, therefore it shows that I'm willing to be koine, therefore I'm nichele, I'm comfortable also being makne, even though it's not in existence.
But every case is like that.
No, not necessarily. It's not always like that.
You sold the future, Yaakov bought a future.
No. We're talking about me acquiring something from somebody else. Not just two people doing one acquisition, but two acquisitions taking place, where I want to be koine from him, and he wants to be makne, and I want to be makne something to him.
Same thing.
No, two separate things. Two separate things. Yeah, two things. Yeah. So, sure. Now, we find another reason. It's getting late. We find another reason for Ein Odom Makne Dovol Shaloi Bala Oilam. Not Smichas Das. But simply, that there is, kinyan has to be chal on something. The kinyan has to be chal. There needs to be chalois kinyan on something. And there's nothing here, which exists for the kinyan to be chal on. If it's any motzu etzo, if it's not in his possession, it's not by him, then you cannot make a chalois. The kinyan can't be chal if it's not here. On what will it be chal? There's nothing for it. There's nothing tangible for the kinyan to be chal on. That's the other reason we find for Ein Odom Makne Dovol Shaloi Bala Oilam. The Chazon Ish says a person is not in control of something that is not here yet, and not in existence by him yet. That's slightly different. But Pashtut Pshat is, according to this Mahalach, that you cannot make a Chalos Kinyan. The Kinyan has to be Chal on something tangible, it's got to be here. So here we have two reasonings. Now, let's go back to the two answers, the Tur and the Rivosh. The Tur's answer, the Rosh's answer, who says that the Shvuah can validate the Kinyan, that Pshat I can understand. If I say that the reason behind the Nodom Maknedovo Shaloi Bala Oilom, if I explain that the reason behind it is because there's a Chesorin in Smichas Das, then I can say that if I make a Shvuah, then that gives me Smichas Das. Because once I make a Shvuah and I back it up with a Shvuah that I'm going to keep my word, that gives me Smichas Das. That will make it Smichas Das. But if you're going to say that there's a chilik between before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah, then what difference does it make? Why should Smichas Das change? Smichas Das is Smichas Das. Either I do have Smichas Das or I don't have Smichas Das. Why does it make a difference whether it's before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah? But if you say that the reason behind Ein Odo Makne Dovo Shalom Bel Oilam is because you need something tangible for the Kinyan to be Chal on, I can say that halacha, that klal, that one needs something tangible here for the Kinyan to be Chal on, that was only Nischadish post Matan Torah, that was Nischadish with the giving of the Torah, that was Nischadish in Ilchas Kinyonim. So these two answers, the answer of the Rosh and the answer of the Rivosh, could well depend on the reason behind Ein Odom Maknei Dovo Shel Ba'olam. The Rosh understood that the reason why Ein Odom Maknei Dovo Shel Ba'olam is because there's a chesaron in Smichas Das. Memele, he said that if a person makes a Shvuah, then that gives him Smichas Das. He's backing his words up with a Shvuah. He's saying, I am Smichas Das, I have full, in my mind, I'm fully willing and able, and even make a Shvuah to be able to validate this sale. But it wouldn't make any difference whether it's before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah. If there's no Smichas Das, even after Matan Torah, even before Matan Torah, it shouldn't work. And if there is Smichas Das, then even after Matan Torah, it should work. Mashain Kain, the Rivosh, understood that the reason why Ein Odo Maknei Dovo Shel Ba'olam is because you need something tangible here in existence in order for the Kinyan to be Chal on it. And therefore, says the Rivosh, it's not going to make any difference whether you make a Shvuah or you don't make a Shvuah. The Shvuah can't validate a sale because there's nothing tangible here for the Kinyan to be Chal on. What could make a difference is that which you need something tangible for the Kinyan to be Chal on, that was only said with the giving of the Torah. That was only Nischadash, that was only given to us. That was only told to us after Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, a person could create a Kinyan even if there's nothing tangible in existence. So the Machloikus between the two depends on the reasoning behind Ein Odo Makne Dovo Shaloi Bala Oilom. Now there is a Machloikus Rishonim. Coming back to our shayla over here, there's a Machloikus Rishonim and whether two Shutfim can create a Shutfus when there's nothing tangible here. For example, if they're tailors or if they're weavers, the examples we gave, or in our case where they are making a Shutfus, they're creating a partnership on something that they're planning on buying in auction. Can they create a partnership? So there are Rishonim who hold that it doesn't work. Why? So it could be one of the reasons it doesn't work is because there's nothing tangible for which the Kinyan to be Chal on. There are those Rishonim who say it does work. Why? Because they are Nisratze Zeimze, because the two of them are willing to go into this partnership, and one of them is saying to the other one, my half is yours and your half is mine. So there's two kinyonim going on here. It's very similar to a case of this one being makne and this two objects being passed between two different people. Where over here, this one's saying everything that I'm going to own will be joined to yours, and everything that I will be joined to yours, and will own it b'shutfus. And therefore, in such an instance, you could say that therefore the smichas das over here. So if the nidden is, if the shayla is there something tangible for the kinyan to be chal on, then it would be a problem. But if you say that the problem is Smichas Das, in this instance where they are willing and able to go into a partnership with each other, so therefore, L'chori, here there will be Smichas Das. Well, this is only one
checkout for this property deal.
Sorry?
The partnership kicks in. As soon as he writes his checkout for the deposit or what he bought it for, 60 million, that's when the partnership kicks in, surely.
The question is, was there a partnership created here? because it's got to work. It's got to, according to, they say they are, but are they really? That's the question. How do they validate that shutfus? With what kinyan did they make the shutfus? So some say, some rishonim say, you don't need any kinyan at all. Kiv den isratze, therefore the mischayv one to another. But it could be, it depends on this to study.